Welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And obviously, if I have two talented reporters, it must be time to break down the Eagles' loss Sunday to the Arizona Cardinals in our Cover 2 segment. And I'm pleased to be joined by the captain of the Birds 24/7 blog on PhillyMag.com, Tim McManus, also of 97.5 The Fanatic.
Shield's going to get you for that one, but thank you.
He might. He's a purveyor of the tape. I think he'll be okay. And also the great beat writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer, former PhiladelphiaEagles.com star, Zach Berman. Zach, I'm sorry if I had to bring that one up right there.
That's a long time ago, but it's good to be back in the building here, so on this side.
Certainly, very much so. So, Tim, I'll start with you on this one. When you look at the Eagles' loss to the Cardinals on Sunday, what is the initial reaction? What's the first thing that comes to your mind from what happened?
Oh, the hits that Michael Vick took. I mean, I think that's first and foremost in terms of moving forward. You have to find a solution in which he doesn't end up on his back as much as he does. I don't think that you can have sustained success when you have a quarterback that's under as much duress as him. And there's so many nice parts about this team with a running back in LeSean McCoy and with a strong defense, you know, that can certainly buttress them. But you have to find a solution for number seven.
Well, I would piggyback on what Tim said, and there's one play that encapsulates the whole thing, and that's the play at the end of the first half when Michael Vick gets hit. Michael Vick turns over the ball, and the Eagles don't score. The problem yesterday was Vick getting hit, the Eagles failing to score, and the consistent turnovers. Now they have 12 turnovers on the season. That's an average of 4 a game. That's far too many.
Now, Zach, I would follow up on that point right there with the turnovers. 12, as you said, for the season. When we look back at the end of this season, is that going to be the team's Achilles heel? Is that going to be the thing that we're writing about week after week here?
If it continues week after week, certainly. It's still early. That's the thing. 3 weeks into a season, there's a lot of time to rectify it. The problem is that we're hearing the same thing every week from the coaches, from the players about they need to fix it, that, you know, it's a matter of they're working on it in practice, so on and so forth. But we're not seeing it in the game. Now, we are seeing they went from 5 turnovers to 4 to 3. But that's still
progress,
far too, yeah, that's progress in one way, but that's still far too many, and it caught up to them yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to have to find some kind of solution offensively that leaves them less prone to turnovers. And when you have a strong running back like LeSean McCoy, I just feel like he needs to get utilized more, especially early. Now, when you look at his touches, I mean, when he finished with game 3, he was actually 3rd in the NFL in touches for running backs. And so it's not like he's starved for it, but then you also have to take into consideration that the Eagles are running a ton of plays on offense, especially in week 1, which skews it a little bit. And when you have Michael Vick dropping back 46 times against what was a Cardinals defense that was pretty ferocious and had their ears pinned back, and you have LeSean McCoy only getting 13 carries, I mean, that's an issue to me. And so and he's been part of the turnover problem, by the way, in McCoy. But I think the more that you give it to him, the less turnovers you're going to have moving forward.
Now, Tim and Zach, you both had a chance to talk to McCoy after the game Sunday, and Zach, same thing with Tim there. Do you think McCoy needs to have a bigger role moving forward?
I do. And it's not necessarily carrying the ball, but just touching the ball. Certainly 13 carries yesterday was not enough. And when you look at the first half carries, it was even worse. So they can't say it was because they were playing from behind. But what that does is, A, it helps balance the offense. Okay, it would theoretically open up the field. And LeSean McCoy is one of those guys who he's a big play running back. So if he can run 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, and then burst one for 30 yards, we've seen that in the past. So I think he needs more consistency in his touches.
Now, we had a new-look offensive line debut Sunday with Dallas Reynolds at center, and we had Demetrius Bell left tackle. Remains to be seen whether King Dunlap will be back in the lineup this Sunday when the Eagles take on the New York Giants. But that's another beast with that 4-man rotation up front led by Jason Pierre-Paul. Zach, what do you think this offensive line has to do to be able to fortify itself moving ahead, starting with a very good Giants defensive line?
They're going to need the guy behind to throw the ball quicker. That's really what it is, because the Giants are going to get to the quarterback. That's how they're designed. They're designed similar to the Eagles in that regard. They invest so much money, high draft picks, in pass rushers. And it's up to Michael Vick to get rid of the ball, because they're going to hit you. But they're not going to hit you if the ball's not in your hands. Certainly the Eagles need to protect better. But it's also on Vic. It's not all on the offensive line.
Well, one of the nice things is that they'll be at home for this Giants
That's
game. And that was a big thing.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, they were having some communication problems. And that was with Jason Kelce, who's starting to be regarded as one of the finer centers in the league, and they were having some trouble communicating across the offensive line. That got corrected when they were at home against Baltimore, and then one of my biggest concerns heading into this game is the fact that you had Dallas Reynolds, who did a nice job in his debut against Baltimore, but this was going to be his first start, and it was going to be on the road in a loud environment, and the same thing could be said for Demetrius Bell, and I think you saw that. I mean, they just didn't have the same kind of sharpness that you saw at home. That will help them on Sunday night to be at the link going up against that strong front, like you say.
If there's one thing I can add to that, too, the Eagles should avoid third and long situations, because what you'll see the Giants do is actually have four DNs on the field. It's a package they call NASCAR, where they move Justin Tuck inside, they can have Tiwanuka inside, and when you have that amount of pass rushers on the field, that could really hurt you. They're not going to do that on 3rd and 2. They'll do it on 3rd and 10.
Showing you what situation you want to avoid throughout the course of the game. Now, Tim, last question. I'll start with you on this one. The Eagles defense struggled to contain Larry Fitzgerald. 9 catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown, the big 37-yard bomb from Kevin Cobb. Now you have not just one stud receiver in Akeem Nicks, but you have Victor Cruz as well, combined for over 500 yards and 2 touchdowns on the season. What do you think the defense needs to do to tighten up to prepare for this duo?
A personal opinion, I think that it's a better defense and a better secondary when they're playing more man and less zone. You saw when Nnamdi had to hand off in the double team with Larry Fitzgerald and the long touchdown. Anytime that they have to work on shifting responsibility from one to the other, they don't seem to be nearly as strong. If they say, all right, you know, I'm going up on Larry Fitz, if you're Nnamdi, I'm just taking him down. And I think DRC did the same thing when you saw him, whether it was against Jacoby Jones or in week 1. You know, he could lock up on anybody with the Browns and just take care of business. And I anticipate that that's where they'll move back to for this game. You have two nice receivers that the Giants have. All right. You know, DRC, you go on one of them, Nnamdi, you go on the other, and just man up. And I think, you know, 8 out of 10 times they're going to get the better of that.
Well, I actually think Nicks is the better receiver, but Cruz is certainly a bigger play guy. In terms of matchups, I think you'll see Nnamdi. I'm sorry, Nnamdi on Nicks, DRC on Cruz. And the key thing with the Giants is you want to play them tight at the line, because Eli's so good at working into a zone, you know, finding those crevices. So you need to play them tight. The other thing is Eli's prone to interceptions too. I covered the Giants 2 years ago when Eli threw 25 interceptions in a season. So if you get to Eli, you start deflecting passes, you'll have a chance to get loose balls.
Do we see a different Eli though now in the last couple of years since though?
Certainly. I mean, last year he was terrific. And the thing about Eli is he's so good in fourth quarters. We've seen it in Super Bowls, but a close game in the fourth quarter, Eli's not going to be fazed by the crowd noise. He's not going to be fazed by the Eagles' pass rush. He's going to stay calm. So the Eagles' defense needs to do the same.
Just phenomenal insight from these two minds. I could just sit here and talk about this match.
So could I.
All day long here. Yeah. But we have more to get to. Come up here on Eagles Nightly. Special thanks here to Tim and Zach for stopping here in the studio. More to come after this quick break.